Hello and welcome to the Happy Project Podcast. My name is Becky. Over here is Cedric Sky City, and we're sitting here in this place, which is our studio, where we also do our podcasting.
Where we also live.
Where we also live.
Was I supposed to say that?
I was about to say it's a secret, but I guess the secret's out.
Yeah. So we can afford a studio, but we can't afford a home. So we just live in our studio.
That's right. You can either have us making content in a great spot like this and be homeless, or you could have us living somewhere and making content in that place where we live.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, or not making content. One would you rather have?
No. We cannot disappoint our listeners and viewers in such a way. Hey, speaking of disappointments, you know, there are many things that happen in life that can end up in disappointment and heartache. Like when you order food at a restaurant, and instead of getting it without ketchup, it comes with ketchup. That's a huge disappointment and heartache in life.
That would be so wonderful for me.
No. Nobody likes ketchup.
Man, you're crazy.
I think I'm starting a war.
Yeah.
People,
this girl does not like ketchup.
I don't. That's right. So any food that comes with ketchup is a huge disappointment and heartache. Breaks my heart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you think you're actually, let's say, 27 years old, and then it's your birthday, and on that day, your mom calls you and says, "Honey, I'm so sorry, but you're actually 36.
What?
That would be a day of disappointment and heartache.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought you were going to say, "Honey, I'm not your real mom."
You're going so serious. These are not those kind of serious situations, right? Or how about you get braces for like 12 years, and then when you get them taken off, the dentist says, "Oh no, we have to do it for another year." That's more disappointment and heartache, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you people out there have experienced one of these three heartaches. But there is another situation that might sound just as ludicrous and out there that can still end in disappointment and heartache, and has in fact ended in disappointment and heartache for a number of men in South Korea.
And that is...
the segue.
I was going to say the title of today's episode.
Which we will say right now.
International marriage scams.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is that what we're going to title it? Or migrant bride scams? Or
yeah, we can put both.
It's all the same.
Yes. That is what we're going to talk about. Oh, I'm sorry. We keep just like running into each other. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be talking about something that is really the flip side of our previous episode. Well, I think it's two episodes ago where we talked about the migrant bride problem or issue.
Yeah.
Where we went into detail about brokered marriages between Korean men and predominantly Asian women that are not Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen that episode on YouTube or listen to that podcast, definitely check that out because it was pretty informative. We'll sort of revisit some of the same elements in this episode, but we're going to talk about a different side, because in that episode we talked a lot about the abuse that these migrant brides face marrying these Korean men.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about the men getting their little hearts hurt.
Oh, their little hearts.
Their little hearts broken. You know, I know a thing or two about getting my heart
broken. Don't say that. That
this is near and dear to my heart.
Oh my gosh. That was so sad.
It's true though.
Guys, the truth is coming out. Cedric was once in an international marriage scam.
No.
Oh, that's not what you meant. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about these migrant bride scams. 사기, right? 국제 결혼 사기. And yes, check out the previous episode on this topic to kind of get the background story. And we decided that we're going to show you the other side. We're going to flip it over and see actually what could happen to these men who get into these marriages through the brokers.
Right.
Yeah.
And just a brief recap of what we're talking about, essentially, just to get you caught up, mm-hmm. is there are a lot of businesses in Korea that establish themselves as matchmaking services.
Yeah.
And some of them are actually legal, but then there are also a lot of illegal matchmaking or broker, like marriage or relationship broker type of businesses that connect primarily Korean men
mm-hmm.
With women who are from either Vietnam, China, and many other different like Asian countries. Mm-hmm. But primarily Vietnam and China are the biggest numbers.
And Cambodia
and as well. And then Thailand is in there. But Vietnamese is by far the, mm-hmm. the largest population of these migrant brides. And so these Korean men many times are sort of the outliers of society or the marginalized men.
Yes.
They're the guys that are typically from the countryside, though not all, mm-hmm. but most of them. And they may not have the same type of education as some of the guys from the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went into that in that episode, so we won't go into that today. But these guys will go to these brokers, and because they're like, you know what, I'm 35, I'm 40. Some of them are like 50. I've never been married. And there's no one here in the countryside, hook me up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go for these international marriages with other women because it's, you know, in many ways, it's sort of the easiest thing and the only option left. And these women, mm-hmm. many times, is sort of a mutual thing. A lot of them are interested in coming to Korea because they want to escape their life in their home country because mm-hmm. they usually socioeconomically are in a lower position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of the long story made short. And, you know, we've seen a lot of reports of these brides being abused mm-hmm. by their husbands because there's like a miscommunication in the relationship because they can't speak each other's languages. And a lot of times these Korean men kind of have this power mm-hmm. trip that they go on, and it leads to abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want their wife to serve them and to sort of be a slave, if you will, mm-hmm. in many ways. So we've talked about that, but today we're going to talk about the other side.
Yeah.
Because it's not always sunshine and rainbows for the guys.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very succinct explanation.
I was trying to wrap up the or just sort of summarize a whole episode
yeah.
in a matter of 2 minutes. So it hopefully I did an okay job.
You did a great job.
Thanks.
So yes, these men typically are not considered as ideal, quote-unquote, for marriage in Korea with Korean women. And so that's why they go through a marriage broker, because it is their best option. Now, here's the issue. We're talking specifically about these scams. They'll get set up through a broker. Maybe they will send their information. They'll write a letter to the broker explaining, this is the kind of woman I'm looking for. This is my situation. This is who I am. Sometimes they are completely open and transparent. This is my history. Maybe I have a criminal record. This is my medical health issues. This is the kind of family that I have. This is where I live, you know, and please find a woman who is okay with that and who also would, you know, match the qualities that I'm looking for. They send it to these brokers in good faith, and these brokers sometimes will not send that information to a woman, or they will say, yes, yes, that's true, but you need to send this much amount of money in order for us to find this kind of woman. Or sometimes they will tell total lies to him and say, we found her, we found the girl, and she has no intent whatsoever to get officially married. Or I guess, no, she gets officially married, but she has no intent to leave her home country and come to Korea and start life as a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some huge breakdown that is happening here, but oftentimes what ends up is these Korean guys, they end up paying just a lot of money. And sometimes it's to the broker, and more often than not, it's to the woman who is holding this scam over him.
Yeah. And so one of the things that a lot of these guys who get into these international relationships through brokers, they sort of had this bad rap, like all of them are abusive and they're, you know, all pretty much bad men.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. Some of these guys are just, again, they just, their circumstances in Korea mm-hmm. is a little bit, you know, they're not as privileged. They're stuck in the countryside and they're good men, but,
yeah.
but you know, they don't make a lot of money. They're not educated. And so a lot of women in Korea, they won't go for that.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't. And so this is sort of their only option because
they're
just
looking for love.
They are. They're looking for love and they want to start a family.
Yeah.
And so they, as you mentioned, in good faith, they try to pursue these relationships through the brokers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, for these particular guys, a lot of the heartbreak comes in because, yes, there are some of these international marriages that actually work out, but a lot of them end up in some sort of like abuse or some sort of, it's just not
he's
a good
put in a very difficult situation.
Yeah
And actually a lot of it has to do with the Korean marriage laws and the visa. So maybe we should talk about specific cases, and then through those cases we can explain, okay, this was the issue, this is another issue, and I think it'll be pretty clear sure. to a lot of people when they hear it. But first, basically, the way the process goes in a lot of these cases is that the Korean guy will fly to the country where he is hoping to meet his bride through the broker. So he goes there. Of course, he's paying the broker money. He's paying for his own flights and all of this. So he's already putting a chunk of cash up front. It's a chunk of cash.
A chunk of money?
Chunk of change.
Chunk of change.
That just sounds a little bit, I mean, still sounds bad, chunk. But it means sounds nicer, like the ch, right?
Right.
Chunk of change up front.
Bit of cash.
So he's going, let's say he goes to Vietnam. He flies to Vietnam. Then he's there. He meets this girl and he's like, whoa, this is the one. And she says, cool, yeah, I'd also like to marry you. And then now due to some changes of the laws, she is required to pass a language proficiency test in order to come to Korea and be married. It's kind of their way of like filtering it out, right? Is this fake marriage or not? Mm-hmm. So he flies out back to Korea and he prepares the marriage certificate. He's already paying all of these fees. He's expecting her to come any day to pass her exam. Sometimes she doesn't come at all. Sometimes she does come and then books it later. But this is kind of there's huge gaps basically of communication. There's huge gaps of understanding, and there's a lot of space for them just kind of being like, well, that's just how it goes. So yeah, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, which in the end hurts the guy. So let's talk about some real life stories then.
Okay.
How about that?
Sure.
You can share one first?
Okay, yeah, I'll share one. And this is from an article. Actually, I found several sources that I believe are talking about the same guy,
But they change his name in every article.
They change his name and also some of the details. But either way, this is based off of a real person. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to primarily be going off of the article itself. And so this guy, his name is Choi Eun-suk, which is obviously not his real name. Mm-hmm. He was a lonely 39-year-old administrator at a high school in Seoul.
Oh, I felt like you're really painting this portrait. He was a lonely man.
Yeah, this is story time here. Yeah. And so he was actually, he at least worked in Seoul, but women, he wanted to get married, but women were not impressed by his job. Mm-hmm. And so in another article, another source says he was a janitor. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why. So in early 2014, he turned to a matchmaking service that specialized in international marriages, and they showed him a profile of an eligible girl. Mm-hmm. And she seemed very sweet and sophisticated. But within weeks, Choi was at Incheon International Airport holding his passport for a round-trip ticket to Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan?
You were on a roll.
Oh, man.
Kyrgyzstan, yeah.
Kyrgyzstan. So his father warned him not to be hasty. He should have listened. So Choi ended up meeting the woman whose profile he liked, and she was 13 years younger than him. A few days later, he showed up for a ceremony that was supposed to be a seal to their betrothal, but it ended up being his actual ceremony. So he went through with it, and he ended up returning back home in 2014 as a married man to start the legal procedure to bring his wife to Korea. So his wife stayed back.
Yeah.
In June, she called to say that she had been, let's just say, abused by a taxi driver and she was pregnant.
Yeah.
She didn't know who the father was. Was it Choi or was it the taxi driver? Mm-hmm. In March 2015, Choi's wife then changed her story. She knew who the father of the baby was, and it wasn't Choi. Mm-hmm. She had never been abused by the taxi driver, and she wanted a divorce. Mm-hmm. So basically, she just made all of this up, and you'll see why in a second. So Choi, he tried to have the marriage annulled, but failed. He is now legally divorced, which puts him in a bad place in society because Korea society doesn't look too well on divorce. And in terms of getting remarried in Korea, that would be a lot more difficult for him. So he's in a position where he got married to this girl, he got played, and he's divorced, and now society's just kind of like, eh, he's sort of, you know, he's just the crumbs. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants him.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is when you hear that story, it's kind of like, okay, that was pretty crazy. What did she get out of this? Well, basically, throughout this whole, how long is this? A year and a half? Basically,
about a year and a half, yeah.
He's expecting her to take the Korean language classes. So he's thinking, oh, she's studying for the classes in Kyrgyzstan so that she can come join me. So during all of this time, and then, you know, oh my goodness, she's pregnant. What if it's my kid? He's paying for her family, her living allowances, for her language classes, the payments, you know, to the broker, also potentially for taking care of this child that could be his. So naturally, he's just sending all this money to her, you mm-hmm. know, on good faith that she's going to come to Korea to live with him. And then in the end, that's what happened. So yes, she got a lot of money out of this.
Yeah. Do you know how much he paid the matchmaking service?
No, how much?
He ended up paying 23 million won, which at the time was about 20,000 US dollars.
Yeah.
And that probably doesn't even include all the extra expenses in terms of getting everything prepared afterwards for her to come. And yeah, so as you can imagine, he's, you know, he was definitely heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he tried to get his matchmaking fee pretty much reimbursed, or he tried to get it back. So I don't know if he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully he was able to work that out. I mean, that's the least of probably what he really, you know, cares about.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the least that, you know, the government or the judicial system could do for him, hopefully.
There's a reason for that, which I will explain at the end of this next story. So this was in 2007. There's this guy, let's just call him An. So An flew to Uzbekistan to meet his potential future wife. And before he went, he wrote this long letter, right? He explained his age, his income, his job. He said that he's not a smoker, that he doesn't drink. And basically, it was like his resume for the international marriage market. And he had it translated into her language. I mean, he already went above and beyond what a lot of guys were doing at that time. This is 2007, even before the change of rules that happened in 2010. And so he had it translated. He gave it to his broker. Please give it to a woman who might be interested. And then later on, he found his wife. And then he learned later on that she never got the letter at all.
Mm-hmm.
She just, maybe she didn't even read it, or she just never got it. The broker lied to An and the wife, who was 28 years his junior. So basically, the broker had told her, oh yeah, he's going to buy you a big house. And so she was like, great, but he couldn't afford a house. And the broker told An, oh, she's from a well-off family, so you're not gonna have to worry about that. And that wasn't true either. Apparently she had run away from her home when she was really young. So as you can see, already things were set up to go very, very badly. She did come to Korea expecting him to buy her a house. When she found out that wasn't true, 3 months later, she kind of threw a crazy fit. And they decided, okay, we're going to live separately. And she moved back to Uzbekistan. And I think he actually helped her to move back to Uzbekistan. It just wasn't possible for them to live together. They weren't divorced at this point. And several months later, while she's in Uzbekistan, she claims, oh, I'm pregnant with your kid. You need to send me money and child support. And he did. He sent her money for child support. And he's been doing that ever since.
Man.
And whether that's his kid or not. So the thing is, he is just one of the many men who then claim to be victims of international marriage scams. After this, he opened a help center for victims like himself. And so he's been helping lots of men, even thousands of them, since opening up this service. So remember I said in 2010, South Korea had, they introduced these new laws on the screening process. Prior to that, you know, women didn't even have access to the potential guy's health record. Remember, if our previous mm-hmm. episode, you heard about that.
He could be crazy.
He could be crazy.
She wouldn't know.
She has no idea. So in 2010, they strengthened this process. But you can see An was very sincere. Even before that law, he really wanted her to know who he was. So now brokers are required to translate the documents and have all of these records and provide them to potential spouses. But now in the case of divorce, so An, why didn't he get divorced? Well, basically, the way it is with these marriages is that because it's considered a marital issue, it's more like a domestic issue. So there's like the international laws, or there's some centers or rules to explain how, you know, all of this works out. But long story short is he couldn't get the divorce papers to her. And so basically because this was outside of the scope of the police or scams or frauds, this was a marital issue and he couldn't reach her. So this is actually a problem that a lot of these guys face. And so what they end up doing is if she came to Korea, let's say, she came to Korea, has the visa. They can't track her down because she hasn't done anything illegal, quote unquote. And so her visa will expire after a year. He basically just has to wait until she needs to leave the country to get her visa renewed. And so he just waits until he can get caught at the airport.
Oh, man.
How terrible is that?
Yeah, so I don't know if you knew this, but that actual incident that you're referring to with An and his wife, his wife's, and they disclose in this other source her name as Natasha.
Oh.
And so they actually...
Did they find her?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But we'll just call her Natasha. I don't know if that's her real name, but... She actually was very hysterical the first time she was in Korea.
Yeah.
And they lived together with An's mom, mm-hmm. who An was taking care of. And one night, because she was just smoking and just drinking a lot because she was just so like depressed. And yeah, so they ended up getting very physical, but she was the one that, you know, attacked him.
Oh, I didn't read that.
She attacked him, and it was very... let's put it like this. It's in a way that you don't want to get attacked.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, they went to the hospital for him to get medical treatment. That's and crazy. Yeah, so the thing is about An, though, is after that, he was very upset. But after he got his treatment and things like that, he still loved his wife and wanted to, like, get her help. Then she ended up going back home, and he still wanted to make it work. So he's one of those cases where he really was just trying his best to make it work, and he really loved his wife, even though it was a very weird arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she ended up moving back to Korea a second time.
Oh.
And she was a little bit better.
They worked it out.
I guess so, because he ended up going back to, what was it, Uzbekistan, right? And so... he spent a little time there, ended up bringing her back for a second time, and realized that she was cheating on him with her boyfriend home. And she ended up getting pregnant with actually her boyfriend.
So that was the kid. Yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah. So
I feel like we're reading like some crazy gossip column.
Yeah. So I found a lot of details on this situation. And so you could see just how horrible the situation is for a guy like that.
That's right. That's awful. And mind you, already keep in mind, he's not like what society considers, you know, a super catch. He's not the most eligible bachelor in town. For these guys, a lot of times, because it's so late in their age, or they just don't have more promise, economically speaking, that this is to them the big change in their life. This is to them such a culminating, wonderful moment. I can have a family. And then this happened. So it's very tragic when you consider it from this point of view. I saw that in 2014, according to a government report, they said half of the divorced Korean husbands in these marriages, the reason why they divorce is because their wives just ran away, which is a little bit stunning, honestly. But An basically, he then brings up this question of people don't understand why some of us would get tricked like this. Doesn't it feel so apparent to you, right? It's so easy to get tricked. But he says, as a marginalized man, poor or disabled, for example, socially isolated, basically unattractive, you are being used by brokers or being used by these women who are actually, in their own way, also trying to get out of a bad situation. They're trying to escape poverty in their own home countries, for example, or they want Korean citizenship. And so it's like you're looking only at the potential dream when in fact you're falling into a trap. So he is the one who argues that it is the government, because Korea government, as we know, especially starting in the 80s and 90s, was subsidizing these marriage brokers. And he says we need to illegalize these marriage brokers, that there's just so much at risk by not illegalizing these private brokers.
Yeah, he ended up reporting 1,000 matchmakers for fraud. And that was at the time of this article, which was a couple of years ago. So, he, you know, who knows how many more after that. But Yeah, so he ended up reporting them, and so many of them ended up shutting down or they had to pay big fines.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, so he's been very active.
Oh, it just breaks my heart when I read, you know, about these guys. And like one quote I had, the guy who had scammed before, he says he still wants to get married even before he turns 60 years old. And quote, "I've always wanted to have my own children. I guess I just don't want to grow old alone. Life is just too lonely like that." So these kind of scams, they're really pulling on something that's just so innate in us, this desire for love and relationship. And they're just doing horrible, terrible things. I mean, some of these women are very like, the word I can use is 뻔뻔해. Do you know 뻔뻔해? Like, it's like, oh, you woman, how could you do that? I don't know how to explain it in English. So, yeah, it's really, really awful. And the more that you look it up, the more and more you see that these scams can get pretty elaborate. This is one that came out in 2011. This was quite a shocking one, actually. Essentially, what happened was marriage brokers, they found homeless men living in Seoul. I'm assuming like Seoul Station, you know, these railway stations where there are a lot of homeless guys. And the broker said, hey, we'll give you a free trip to Vietnam. And we're also going to give you 3 million won if you agree to getting married. You don't actually have to live with her and, you know, live like the marriage life if you don't want to. But we'll give you this money, a free trip if you go. Basically having that legitimacy of their name. Mm-hmm. As a Korean person, as a Korean citizen. And then the Vietnamese brides, they wanted to come live and work in South Korea. So on their side, they actually pay the bigger amount of money. So here I wrote, like, it says 18 to 20,000 USD because they're basically buying this marriage certificate. So they would fly these homeless guys out to Vietnam and then they would have a wedding ceremony there. Then they would come back to South Korea where she would just run away. And this was just the broker's way of, I guess, getting these women their citizenships in South Korea or a visa to work. But they're really playing on the vulnerable here. And so it's kind of like, I mean, how low do you have to go to do this? And I'm not talking about the limbo. So there are so many cases, and we found many of these situations. And the police are investigating. But like we said, a lot of times when it comes to these kind of marriage, let's call it marital disputes, that is just considered a domestic issue. So it can be really hard to finalize divorces mm-hmm. in a lot of these circumstances.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, when you think about who's to blame, you know, I think it's not necessarily one person. I think there's a lot of reasons for this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the society in general and just the expectations and just sort of how patriarchal the society still is, that has a part to play. Then you have the marriage brokers, of course, that, and not to say that all brokers are bad, because you know, I don't know what the statistic is of those that are good, but there are a lot of bad brokers, of course, and they're the ones that are trying to capitalize on the marginalized. And then you also have just these cultural expectations that are still outdated, especially like towards women, right?
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the expectation that, in 2020, 2021, you could still go to college, get your education, but when it's time to marry, you got to get married at a certain age, and then you got to basically still keep the house. You have to raise the kids, have babies, things like that. And a lot of Korean women these days are like, nah, not feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads them, actually a lot of women end up not getting married or they, you know, still try to get married to someone who is not on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think all of these
factors,
they play a big part into this issue.
I was going to bring up a different aspect of this considering women. They pulled out this study and it's primarily focused in Hong Kong, but it also has happened in Korea, these kind of scammers happening to typically lonely middle-aged women. They're especially vulnerable to these scamming methods because basically this gender imbalance comes from these hidden societal pressures that a lot of women face. As we know, Korea doesn't have gender equality at this point. And a lot of girls are told when they're younger, like, you should not date. You need to focus on studying, right? You have to study hard, focus on your education. So, and this, you know, high expectations like that to not be you know, like Miss Independent or whatever. But then once they hit a certain age, suddenly the script flips. I know that for a fact. Myself, mm-hmm. you know, study, work hard, don't date. And then the moment you hit, what, 21? Suddenly it's like, so, where's the guy? I'm like, I didn't even look at guys for 10 years. Like, how am I supposed to find someone now? And, you know, once you're 24, you're 25, the family expectations start inching up a little bit higher. Okay, when you get married, where's the family? And so these women oftentimes can feel very, you know, pressured. There's a lot of that. There's these contradictory demands about, you know, gender roles, but also you have to work hard and, you know, have a successful career, but then you also have to get married and find a good guy. And so all of these things, I think, can definitely lead to people feeling more vulnerable or easy to fall for these scams, especially once, for women's case, you've hit a certain age that society will deem you as, oh, not eligible anymore. So these would be other reasons too. So it's not just men who are scammed, but women who are as well. Long story short, is there an answer to this problem? How can we prevent these frauds and scams from happening? One, I mean, obviously you should just be smart yourself, you know, do your own study, education, learn about who this other person might be. And if you're going to go through a marriage broker, make sure you go through one that is legal through the government, you know, something that's vouched for. Don't go through private marriage brokers. I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners are interested in doing that, right. But it can definitely cause problems on both sides, not only monetary damages, but emotional ones as well. And those are the ones that typically last a lot longer. So I guess this is just for all the guys who got scammed out there. This episode's for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, because you said absolutely, I guess it's time for your listener mail.
Yep. Perfect transition.
I know. I'm nothing if not natural. Let's see. Today I'm just going to read one episode. Oh, I'm sorry, where did that come from? One email. I'm going to read just one email here. This one came in a bit of time ago, but this is from someone named Emma. And Emma writes, "Hello. As a half Korean person, I love listening to your podcast. It brings me a lot. Thank you. My mother is Korean, and she was adopted by a French woman. Today in France and all around the world, many Korean people are trying to find their biological family. Could you please share on Instagram or other social medias these videos?" And she sent me a link with these videos for us to share. It may help a lot of these people. So that is very, very interesting for you to share with us, Emma. Thank you. And no doubt there are people similar to you who also have those kind of questions, who are also going on that same journey of searching. So yes, Emma, we'll share this, and we wish you all the luck, of course, and we'd love to hear more from you as your journey continues. If you guys want to get in touch, you've got other things to share with us. Maybe you are a migrant bride. Maybe you have your own experience like this, and it's something totally different than what we've talked about on these two episodes. We'd love to hear from you, and you can always get in touch at thehaffyproject@gmail.com. So be sure to leave a comment, subscribe, and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. We are The Haffy Project.